It's 10 days till Christmas. Y'all ready? I know, is it like weird that every year we say this same phrase, like Christmas snuck up on us? Like they moved the date around or something? Remind me, about a month ago today, actually, I was listening to a radio station and I was thumbing through them and I heard a Christmas song and I thought, wow, that's cool. And then the next one played, it was another Christmas song, and I thought, wow, we are already ready for Christmas around this place sometimes, right? This was a week before Thanksgiving, guys, and we're already listening to Christmas music. Anyway, I love this time of year. You guys know me. I love summer because summer is that great hot weather, and I love the family vacations, and we go do stuff, but there's something different about this time of year, right? There's something different about the holiday season from Thanksgiving into Christmas into New Year's. Where extended family gets together. And we have a lot of traditions around this. As Ron mentioned, there's a lot of, we always do this because we always have. And, you know, there's a certain day you start setting lights out, right? There's a certain person who hangs the topper on the tree. There's certain foods y'all start eating. There's a lot of tradition that comes with Christmas, right? So whether you do a turkey again because you didn't get enough of it a month ago at Thanksgiving, maybe some of y'all do a ham. My buddy Mike Fiola, they do a fish fry, right? So I'll be over at like 6 or whatever time meeting me over there. So, all right, sweet. Some of y'all do lasagna and Italian food, but it's just that, you know, there's traditions. There's a lot of things we do because we love to do it with our family. But that's the big part. We do it with our family. And so I like this series we're going through, Forever Christmas. And so Joe last week kind of talked about the Jesus of Christmas past, if you will, what he actually did for us, an eternal Jesus came into a temporary world to buy us back to our eternal relationship with God. And come back next week, Linwood's going to talk about the Jesus of Christmas future, what as we walk into eternity with Jesus. And so that brings us to today, the Jesus of Christmas present, right? And no greater present we've ever gotten, in my opinion, is then the ability to call God family again, to be forever family again with God. And so we celebrate that today. But here's the deal. I understand Christmas doesn't always bring about good memories for some of you guys, does it? Sometimes we've suffered some loss in our families. Sometimes there's been disagreements in our families. We've been downright bitter to each other sometimes in our families. And so, like many of you, I've got some of those memories. I've got what you'd call the good and the bad and the ugly of Christmas memories. And so maybe some of you are sitting here in that same boat. Maybe you don't have a long tradition of things you do in your family. Maybe you start new or you've been adopted or there's been brokenness or divorce and all the things that cause families to not get along. And so there's not that long string of great memories. And I'm in that boat too. But I'm here to tell you that because of Jesus Christ, we have a new identity. And we're going to talk about that today. We have a new relationship with God. And so no matter your physical past, we can look forward to an eternal family because of Jesus. And so I wanted to go through some examples of maybe what your past may look like as far as Christmas goes. So maybe you've had a good experience like this. Now I want to clarify something real quick. That is not Dale Girardin in this picture. Dale's in the sound booth today. He's got much less hair. But I do want to stop and thank you, Dale, for all you do around here. You are everywhere I look, somewhere in a ministry you have served, and I thank you for that. We have servants like that all over this place. He's just one of them, but he does have a nice beard. So this is the Duck Dynasty guys, right? And so whether you like this show or not, and whether you've watched it or not, I do appreciate what they do here for a meal, right? So the Robertson family, so a lot of them work together, which you know how that can be. That can be tough in itself. And then they do whatever they do during the day doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they come back, and they share a meal together, and they talk. Remember when we used to talk at a meal? And they get along, but first thing they do is they give thanks for that meal. And they remember who provided it for them in the first place. And so maybe you've got a long-standing tradition of holiday meals looking like this, where it's good. Times are okay there, right? But maybe it's the bad. Remember this guy? Poor Clark Griswold, right? All he wants to do is experience good times with his family, whether it be a road trip to the West Coast to enjoy a theme park or a trip to Europe. In this case, he spends like a week plus decorating his house with more lights than should probably be illegal, probably are, and you know he goes through the whole motions of doing all the things just to get a good time with his family, and he staples himself to a gutter, right, remember that, and then he falls off a ladder, and he gets locked in the attic while everybody else is out Christmas shopping. Then he has trouble with the lights, and finally it all comes together to this point where everybody's around the table, and he cuts into an overcooked turkey that just kind of blows up on him. I don't even know if that's how that really works. But they don't respect him. And you can kind of see on the faces here, they're just kind of going through the motions, right? Because it's what we do. They just kind of don't have any respect for poor Clark. Maybe this is the bad. Maybe you've done a lot of years just doing the same thing because it's tradition and it's what you do, and you just don't really want to be there, but it's what you do, right? So you've got the good, the bad, and maybe it turns downright ugly. Maybe it's looked like this in your past. Maybe you've literally had food fights at your Christmas table. Maybe they're just war of words. Maybe it's downright ugly because of just whatever in your past. Maybe you've just caused each other serious wounds. Maybe you can't even stand to be around each other at Christmas. I get that. I've had all three experiences, like I've mentioned. I've had the good, the bad, and the ugly of Christmas. And I'm here to tell you today, no matter what your physical Christmas table looked like in the past, we have an opportunity to be at a spiritual Christmas table because of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. Our text today will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to build the stage to get there, but if you want to flip in your Bibles to get there ahead of time, I will have the words on the screen. They're also in the back of your sermon notes. But before we get there, I kind of wanted to share a little bit about my family past. I mentioned that I had some good, bad, and ugly, and so I grew up in a broken home. My mom remarried my stepdad, and we grew up right around the corner from the church here. And so anytime that happens, in any mom and dad situation, there's also grandparents, right, or extended family. And so my extended family on my stepdad's side, they lived in a property adjacent to ours. So we would just walk up the hill, and he was one of eight kids, which means there's lots of grandkids, which means there's not a lot of houses big enough for all those people. So what we would do is they would have like a buffet style. We'd walk through the kitchen and grab all the food, and we'd go outside and eat at picnic tables because in Florida, it's like 80 degrees on Christmas, so you can do that. But I'll never forget all the adults sat at a long string of picnic tables over here. And they ate there. And then the kids ate way over there, far away, almost like to be seen and not heard type of situation, right? And we got to know the other kids pretty well, but I never felt joined with the family like that. I never felt like I was one of them or part of the family. It was just a weird feel. But anytime you've got the different types of families, you've got one meal at Christmas morning and one at Christmas night, or, you know, that's why we all used to eat too much, because you have to eat at so many families. But later on that day, we would go to my mom's parents' house. Grandma and Grandpa Ledford, Jim and Mary. Now, my grandmother, Mary, was one of those people, like some of y'all here, were like, for some weird reason, with one stove, she can get all the food to the table at the same time, warm. I don't even know how that's possible, but she was super good at it. And then come mealtime, she would get it all on the table, and she'd say, okay, kids, go wash your hands. Get ready to eat. And so the little boy that I am, I would go in the bathroom and turn the water on and pretend to wash. And boys are gross. Plus, you're going to get them dirty again like in 5 minutes, right? So anyway, I would come out of the bathroom, and my grandfather, I would never forget this. He used to call me Buckshot. And he'd say, come on, Buckshot, there's a chair at the table here right next to me with your name on it. And I felt super appreciated, like I was loved, I was part of the family. And in my grandparents' house, you could always be assured that there was some strangers there, some people my grandfather worked with that just didn't have a Christmas. And so they were invited over, and so you'd have lots of people around a table getting to know each other and talking with no cell phones. It was cool. But more importantly, I always sat right next to my granddad because he had a spot there for me and had my name on that chair, he said. And so can I assure you today that if you've come from one of those disastrous type of backgrounds, that there is a chair with your name on it at the Heavenly Father's table. You can be assured of that. So, forever family, I want to talk about how you're identified, because how I was identified in certain parts of my past, eating a certain tables, if you will. I had a negative opinion of Christmas for a while, to say the least. And then I had some positive opinions. And these are the names we call ourselves as Christ followers oftentimes, right? And I'll get to this top one here in a minute. But let me tell you something. When you leave here today and you go to the local restaurant, don't tell them you know Patrick Haas, because it probably won't get you anything more than a laugh. And even if you say you're one of these names, it may not get you more than a laugh, but I can tell you that knowing me is not as important as knowing Christ. And that last name, who you're identified like this, carries off into eternity much more weight. And so no matter your family tradition or what your name means or all the things you've been through, being known with Christ is way more important and carries much more weight. And so we use the word disciple around here a lot. So if you identify yourself as a disciple of Christ, I'm glad. That's there's nothing wrong with that. I love that description, a follower or student of the teacher named Jesus, or him being your leader or philosopher. And so that word is all through the New Testament. That's why we use it around here. Our mission statement actually says, go make disciples, right? If you've been around here more than 4 seconds, you know that already. I also like this bottom one. By the way, if you just Google these names, this is what comes up. I found that interesting. They actually had a name for Christ followers. It says a person with a relationship with Jesus and lives according to his teachings. Well, that can define us, right? I love that name. I love being known as a Christ follower or a disciple. And we've kind of said, let's steer clear of the name Christian because it has negative connotation in the world. And you know what? I'm actually not sure I want to give that name up yet. I'm not sure I want to let the enemy have that name, because they were first called Christians in Antioch, right? And although the other two times Christian is mentioned, it has a negative vibe to it. But listen, we're people who have received Christian baptism, and we believe in Christianity. And so why let the enemy have that name back? Maybe this year we just start acting better, acting like we've been saved by the blood of Christ, and we take that name back. Maybe that's what we do this year. But however you call yourself, be assured that carries a bigger weight. And so I mentioned we're going to be in 2 Corinthians today. And before I get there, I want to define another word real quick, because it uses this word a handful of times, and it's a word we don't say much anymore in our culture. But it's this word called reconcile. And it's a verb which means to restore friendly relations between. Joe just talked about this last week. We had relation with God. He made us to be perfect, to live forever. We were with God in family. And then we sinned against God and broke that relationship. So God's decided he will fix it, he will save the day, and went into his own creation to buy us back to that eternal relationship. He restored it. And so when we read this scripture, if you want to replace the word reconcile with restore, not a bad idea. Or to settle a disagreement. I like this third description. To make one account consistent with another, especially allowing for a transaction begun but not yet completed. But Jesus Christ finished the transaction on the cross, and so that has been done. We are reconciled to God because of him. And so as we read this text, remember that we've been reconciled. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, if you guys are all there. I'm going to start in verse 17. Like I said, the words are actually on your sermon notes too, if you have those on the back page. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Let me stop right there for a minute. Have you thought of yourself yet as a new creation, despite what your family name has done to you? Despite what your family members have done to you? Despite what you've done to them? You are made brand new by the blood of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. That old creation is no more. You don't think like that guy, that gal. You don't talk that way. You don't act that way. That's why we take the name Christian back. That is an old creation that's gone. Verse 18 says, all this is from God, who reconciled himself to us through Christ. Why we're even celebrating, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And now he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our new job. So if you're part of this family, we still got work to do. Because chances are you're sitting here because somebody showed the love of Jesus to you. And so now we don't get to just receive that reconciliation. We got a job to do. And God expects us to be in partnership with him to do it. How crazy is that? We get to be called God's partner in reconciliation. Let's go to verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now listen to this. Not counting people's sins against them. Because I've done some. I've been there. I have an old past. And I'm thankful that God does not count that against me anymore. But it is because of Jesus. So I was reminded this week that we like to sometimes, nobody in here obviously, count some sins worse than others. And some are a little more unforgiving than others. And we're going to be sitting at a table 10 days from now from somebody with somebody who's possibly really harmed us. And I was reminded that the very first sin where we broke that agreement with God was a simple act of disobedience of eating from a fruit that God had not commanded. And you know what the punishment for that was? A broken family, kicked out of a land that they always knew into a new land where they would have to work and things would be tougher. They were banished from a land they always knew. Do you know what the second sin mentioned in the Bible was? Murder. Their kids, one of them killed the other. And you know what his punishment was? A banishment to another land. He had to go far from where he once knew. So we have a just God that punishes how he sees fit, and so we start thinking that our sin is not as bad as the other. Remember the punishments that God has for sin. The wages of sin are death, but because of Jesus Christ, we're reconciled there. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Once again, he has committed us to the work of showing Jesus to the world. That's a serious job, guys. So this year, we don't get to sit across the table from somebody and not forgive them and hold that grudge. And is there somebody this year you've got to reconcile with? Is there somebody this year you just got to make a phone call before 10 days from now? Because we can't be the food fight family, guys. We cannot be the ugliness that the world carries around. We've been saved. And you know what? There's a chair at the table for that person, just like there is us. They just don't know it yet, possibly. And God's counting on you and I to show them, to reconcile that relationship. So it is a serious job. It's one thing to call Lord God Savior, it's another to call him Lord. And if he's Lord of your life, we know what our job is. Show Jesus. Let's move on. Verse 20. We were therefore Christ's ambassadors, again, as though God were making his special appeal through us. He is making appeals to people all around you. What are you showing them? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Not suggest, not good idea. We implore you to be reconciled with God. And then look at this part. God made him who had no sin to be sin. Now think about that for a minute. Sin is what God hates. And he actually made his own son to be the very nature of that for us. For the person you'll be sitting across from in 10 days. For the person you work with. The ones that have damaged you most. God still hung on a cross for them the same amount of time as he did you and me. And he expects us to show that same forgiveness to the world, that same grace, that same mercy. He actually made his own son to be the very nature of the thing he hates so that we could be restored. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel special? Because it should. That last name, that identity has changed, and you are no longer the old one that had all the trouble. We have a new identity in Christ because of that, from his own son, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The actual story of God, the way God does things, the way God loves people, we are supposed to be that to the world. And it's important we know that this year, because there's a chair waiting for every one of us. And if you've not experienced that yet today, maybe you're not to that spot where you've accepted Christ as your Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity today, because there's no better time than today than to say, Jesus, I now belong to you. And it may be the easiest decision you'll ever make that carries the hardest job description you'll ever have. Because accepting Jesus as Lord changes everything. It gives you a new identity, a new place at the table, Buckshot. But man, we got a job to do, and it involves forgiveness. And forgiveness is tough, isn't it? Ask Jesus. It's tough. And I love this verse. It kind of talks about this, because God didn't expect us to come to him. God came into his own creation, And here he stands, guys. If you've not surrendered to Christ, here he's standing at the door right now and knocking. And if you hear his voice, invite him in. And he'll eat with you and you with him. And one day that carries a chair at the big table with your name on it. You know, we do a lot of celebrating around here, and so I want to celebrate some people who just last month, in November alone, in this family, who made that decision, who heard Jesus knock and invited them in. And so we have 7 people just last month who gave their life to Christ. Check this out. Welcome to the Forever family, guys. Now here's your chance. This could be your day too. Water's warm. We'll have people up here at the end of the service to pray for you and with you. We'll be up front. We have a special bunch of people we're going to bring up. Before we do that, though, I want to talk a little bit more about Forever family. Because of Jesus Christ, it can be ugly in your past. I know, I've been there. But the future looks so good because of the chair with our name on it. And so because of Jesus, we were restored to God. Think about that. Let us settle in for a minute. Not because of us. We didn't do anything. We didn't live a life better than the people that have offended us. We just accepted that knock at the door. And we have a new identity. And that to me is big. And I know I speak for some of you sitting in this room. A new identity just came right in the nick of time. It's just what I needed. Because my old one was a mess. And it was mostly because of what I'd done. And not the people I'm blaming in life, or blamed at that time. Because of Jesus, we do have that chair at the table. And we sit, just think about that. I can't wait to one day hang out with God all day and just talk about life and have him be invited into the relationship, invited into the family, invited into the conversations. That just sounds fun to me. And because of Jesus, we are that forever family. 7 people figured that out last month. What's December look like? I do want to close, though, by inviting a special group of my family up. Now, you guys are all my family, but I want to invite up Christ Family Christian Church. Because here's a bunch of people who've decided that we are Christ's ambassadors. We are called to go and show the love of Christ and show what reconciliation looks like. And sometimes that includes sharing your ugly testimonies, sharing the mess that God's brought you out of. And if you know that you've been reconciled from Christ, remember that. Be thankful that you are a new creation, a new family. And I'm so honored to call these people my family, but they're yours too. These are the people who have committed to going to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ's word in Citrus County. We have a big brother, you know, and their name's Go Church Spring Hill, and I want you to continue to pray for those guys because they're paving the way for us, and we're learning from them. And it doesn't matter that they don't have the big building like we've got or a gym or all the things. They just want to be uncomfortable for the sake of the kingdom. And I'm with them in that, and so are these people here. And I couldn't be prouder than to do this with you guys today. And I want to pray for them, yeah. I didn't bring them up just necessarily to get an applause, but thank you. But for 2 big reasons. One, I just mentioned, this is our job. This is what God has committed us to. He has asked us to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. He's going to do the hard work. He's already in Citrus County moving lives, changing spirits. So when we get there, we get to be called his partner. But second, I want you to look at a bunch of holes in service here. There's a bunch of people that serve here, people that sing and play music and serve in the preschool wing, and there's ushers and red shirts, and everywhere you look, these people serve somewhere. And so if you're sitting here today and you think maybe I need to try something out, come up here and ask these guys at the end of the service. I like what you do. It looks fun. You made it look awesome. And since you're leaving and taking this love to a new place, I want to figure out how to do that here, and we can help you with that. But these guys, and I love y'all, I really do. This is an honor to be doing this with you guys. I really mean that. So remember to pray for us. Just like some of you guys have had kids and they've moved out and they got a new address and they got new ways of doing life. But at the end of the day, we come back and we're family, aren't we? Because we're forever family. And so don't forget these faces. We won't forget you. And we'll be praying for you guys too, because you guys know we have an enemy who hates you. And he does not want to see this ever again. He doesn't want to see you guys giving your life to Christ. He doesn't want to see you getting better at things and learning how to be a better dad and a mom and a brother and a sister. And he doesn't want your Christmas table event to go well. So remember to pray for each other, guys. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to close with a song that's also awesome. We sang it last week, but this is we sang the words, "We are who Jesus says we are." And we continue to live that out. We didn't earn anything, but God, through his loving mercy, showed us reconciliation. And because of that, we call ourselves Christian, disciple, Christ follower. Let me pray for us. God, thank you is not enough. The words thank you seem so inadequate for what you've done for me. I just am so in awe of a God that would take the first step, that would sit across the dinner table from somebody who called him enemy and forgive him anyway and sent his son to do it. God, you are an amazing, amazing father, and I thank you so much for a chair at the table with my name on it because of you, because Jesus said, "I am now a Christian." I want to personally pray for Go Church of Spring Hill, that you will continue to do mighty work there and never let them get discouraged. And I want to pray for Christ Family Christian Church. You will do the same for us, God, that I already know you're in that new county making preparations for us and making a way so that we can just be called yours in a new place, that we can show that reconciliation that we so don't deserve, but you gave it anyway. And I want to continue to pray for CCW. This continue to be this little place in the woods and a barn that continues to change lives month after month because of you and because they take their job as your ambassador seriously. Father, don't let anybody leave here unsaved today, God. If there's somebody scratching their head right now or feeling that tug of their spirit, make them make today the day so that we can have relation and they can sit with us at the table with that name on our chair. I love you, God. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I thank you so much that I get to pray in the name of Jesus Christ to you. Amen.